My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Welcome to our study of the whole armor of God. Can you imagine what it would be like if a man were to go to war without the proper armor? Without a gun, without a helmet, without any sword, without any clothing? Can you imagine how foolish that would be? We would think that if a person were to do that, something would be wrong with them. But is it any less foolish for Christians to fight the spiritual battle against the devil unprepared? Today we are going to look at some of the armor and the battle that the Christian is in and how that if we arm ourselves properly, we can win the fight. But my friends, to win the battle, we've got to realize that we are in a battle. There are so many people who approach life flippantly without realizing that the devil is actively trying to cost them their soul, cause them to lose their soul. Think about Job chapter 1. Job is introduced and we learn that he is a righteous, a blameless man. But then Satan comes on the scene and the Lord asks Satan where he has been. And the answer is from going to and fro, back and forth on the earth. It seems as though Satan was actively seeking people to cause them to lose their soul. And thus we must awaken to the fact that we are every day in a battle for our soul. Look at the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, as he emphasizes this battle. Paul says that though we walk in the flesh, though we have a fleshly life, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's true that we live a fleshly life. We are human beings in a fleshly world that will one day cease to exist. Genesis 2:7 says that's the very way we were created. Lord God made man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. But let's realize that our battle is not carnal. We don't take up guns and ammunition. We don't go to a geographical location and fight against people. That's not the battle we're in. We're in a spiritual battle. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 verse 8, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." Not only did Paul encourage Timothy in this battle, but he said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 that we've got to realize our battle is against the spiritual host of wickedness. He said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not out fighting other people, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. And for this reason, we've got to take up the whole armor of God that we may overcome the enemy, the great enemy, the devil. But you know, part of being a good soldier, part of winning the battle, means that we're not ones who are going to get caught up in the affairs of this life. Think about it this way. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4, Paul reminded Timothy about enduring and not giving up as a Christian. And he said, "No one enlisted or engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this world that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." It's just a very practical illustration. If you're in the army, your whole duty is to fulfill the mission of the army. You can't be entangled in the affairs of the world and be a good soldier at the same time. And how true that is in the army of Christ. If we're really going to win the battle, you have to be a dedicated and committed soldier of Christ. You've got to love first and foremost the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. You cannot serve God and mammon. You'll love one and hate the other, despise one and hold to the other. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. And friend, be sure that in this battle, as a soldier, God knows your heart. You're not going to fool the Lord. If you're playing soldier one day and then out playing with the world another day, God knows that. Acts 1 verse 24 tells us that God knows the heart of man. Acts chapter 15 verse 8 gets a little more specific. God knows our hearts. Luke chapter 16 verse 15, God knows what's in each of our hearts because His eye sees all things. Proverbs 15 and verse 3. In fact, there is nothing that is hidden from God. Rather, all things are naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we must give an account. And so to really win the battle, I'm going to have to be entirely devoted to the cause of Christ. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. But as we think about this spiritual battle, we also need to understand who the enemy is. Who are we fighting against? Friends, we're fighting against the most demonic, against the most powerful spiritual enemy you could ever imagine, Satan himself. That old slithering snake, the one who is spoken of as the god of this world. Look at the way Satan is described in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Paul uses language that is almost scary as we think about Satan. He says of Satan, whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, be in them, who is the image of God, it would shine on them. Here Satan is depicted as the god of this world. He is the one that evil people who do not follow Jesus, the one whom they're serving. The scripture describes him and his servants as presenting themselves as angels of light. Oh, they look good and they sound good, but in reality, they're only sheep's or wolves in sheep's clothing. He's described as a wily and conniving creature. 1 Timothy 3, verse 7, we're told to beware of the snares of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, we're to watch out for the wiles of the devil. Often think of Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. In the old cartoon, Acme cartoon, you can imagine the Roadrunner, Wile's always got some plan in mind, trying to trap him, trying to ensnare him. Never does catch him, but he's always got something going in the background, trying to catch him. That's the wiles of the devil. He is always actively trying to pursue us and cost us our soul. I think of the devil as he is described in John 8 and verse 44. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He lied to Adam and Eve when he just added one word, not. It really won't hurt you. God didn't say that, did he? Surely not. He calls Cain to be a murderer of his brother when power and greed enter into his heart. And thus he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. But probably the most graphic illustration is found in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Peter says these, it gives us this warning. Be sober, be vigilant, wake up, watch out. Why? Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so when you understand that the devil is the great enemy and Christ is the captain of the Lord's army. As I think about Christ being the captain of the Lord's army, I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. We're told that we can go forward in battle because Jesus has made the way for us. He is the author and finisher of our faith, and because of that, He's forged the way. Wouldn't it be great to know that the captain you're following, the one who has already been through the battle, not only won the battle, but He made a perfect way for you to win the battle? You see, that's the wonderful thing. Our captain has already defeated the great enemy. Hebrews 2, verse 14, He, Jesus, through death, overcame him who had the power of death, who is Satan, and He freed those who all their lifetime were in bondage to sin and death. That's Jesus. When He died on the cross, He won the battle. But friends, let's realize what's at stake. In this battle, we're not battling for land. We're not battling for money. We're not battling for world domination. The battle is about the most important thing ever, the souls of men. Jesus taught us in Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, that nothing is more important than a man's soul. He said, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Let's say that you gained everything in this world. You had all the pleasure, all the passion, anything you wanted. Money wasn't a question. And you went to hell. What would that profit you? You see, your soul is the most important thing. In James 5 and verse 20, the Christian is told in verses 19 and 20 that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Do you remember what it was that the rich fool lost in Luke 12, verse 20? Oh, he lost his money, but that wasn't the most important thing. This night, your soul will be required of you. Luke 12 and verse 20. And so, in the stakes is our soul. And we must be aware, we must be alert, and to win the battle, we're going to have to put on the whole armor of God. And so let's think for a few moments from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, about this armor. God has aptly equipped each Christian soldier to win the battle. But what is it that we've got to put on? What is this armor that God has given us? First in this armor that we have is the belt of truth. I want to turn your attention to Ephesians chapter 6. As we think about this belt of truth, I want you to notice how this is the first in the list. This, I believe, is what ties everything together in this list of armor. Paul says, and gird your waist with the belt of truth, or put the belt of truth around your waist. Here's the principle that in the very first part, if we're going to have the right armor, you've got to hold everything together with that belt, and it's the belt of truth. Now, imagine it this way. Imagine you were in the jungle, and you're fighting in a battle, or you're out on the plains fighting in a battle, and you've got your luggage, you've got all your armory, you've got your gun, you've got your helmet, you've got everything, your water satchel, your pockets and your pants are loaded down with equipment, and you forgot your belt. Imagine what that would be like, going through the whole battle, pulling up your pants. Or even more embarrassing, imagine what it would be like if your pants fell down in the middle of the battle. You see, my friends, it's the belt of truth that holds everything together. It is one of the most essential parts in the Christian armor. But someone say, well, what is truth? Great question. Pilate asked it. John chapter 18, verses 36 through 38. Pilate said, what is truth? There's so many in our world who are skeptical about the truth. But friends, Jesus had already told us what truth is. In John 17, verse 17, Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The word of God, the Bible, is the absolute source for truth today. And if a man doesn't have himself armed and girded with that, there's no way he'll win the battle. In fact, this is key to overcoming the enemy. John chapter 8 and verse 32, the scripture says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth that sets men free from sin and the power of Satan. Not military power, not bombs and missiles or guns, but the truth of God's Word. I'm reminded of Psalm 119, 160. The psalmist said, the entirety of your Word is truth. All of God's Word is what we need to live our life. Psalm 119, verse 30, the entrance of God's Word gives light, and it is that truth that shines light on an evil and ungodly world. I think of the value of truth that's found in Proverbs 23 and verse 23. The proverb writer said, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, get wisdom and understanding. And friends, no matter what it costs you, giving up family, giving up lifestyles, giving up financial gain, the truth, the Word of God, lived out in a person's life, is more important and more valuable than anything you could ever imagine. If you don't have truth on your side, there's no way you're going to win the battle against the devil. In fact, you're already aligned with the great enemy. But then Paul mentions another part of the Christian armor. Not only must we put on the belt of truth, but Christians are to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate is what covers the main organs, the heart, the lungs, the stomach, the intestines. It's what covers some of our most important organs in the body. If those are injured, the whole soldier is injured in battle. He cannot fight again. And so, having a good breastplate is essential to overcoming the battle, winning the battle.